The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listening to I Am Refocused Radio with your host, Shamaya Reed. This show is designed to inspire you to live your purpose and regain your focus. And now, here's your host, Shamaya Reed.
Hey, welcome to I Am Refocused Radio. Once again, we are here. This is my favorite time of the day, and we get to talk to our special guest. She is going to talk about her book, Be Human, Lead Human, How to Connect People and Performance. The guest that we have today that's going to bless us today is Dr. Jennifer Nash. She is the founder and CEO of Jennifer Nash Coaching and Consulting. We're going to learn everything about not just her book, but also about her. She's also an executive advisor and leadership development consultant. She holds a PhD from Case Western Reserve University and an MBA from the University of Michigan. Go Wolverines. I love that right there. First and foremost, thank you, Ms. Jennifer. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I appreciate your time. So before we dive too deeply in the book, kind of tell us a little bit more about your professional background.
Well, I run an executive coaching and consulting business. I'm based here in Austin, Texas. And I spent a 25-year career in industry and professional services before going out on my own in 2018.
And with that, I mean, you have a pretty strong platform and a great reach. What's that one thing that you hope every person that you work with can take away, not just from your business, but just you as a person?
You know, I think whenever I have the opportunity to interact with someone, I always hope that the interaction will leave each of us changed for the better. And I'm always thinking about what is something that I can contribute to this conversation or to this person that, you know, they might need in that moment. And how can I help them improve the quality of their lives? And in turn, how can they then go out and improve the quality of others' lives around them as well?
And today's topic, Be Human, Lead Human, is going to be focused on your book that you wrote. And tell us a little bit first, what inspired you to write this book and on the topic that you wrote about?
So I was inspired to write this book because I had the great fortune to work with a leader who was exceptional. And this leader made me feel like I was seen and that I mattered. And not just, you know, because I was an employee, right, getting paid to deliver work for the company, but because I was a human being and I had, you know, talents and skills and dreams and aspirations, and that this leader saw all of that and welcomed and embraced all of that. And I really wanted to understand, you know, that was like one of the few times in my career where I had experienced a leader like that. And I really wanted to understand, why aren't there more leaders like that? And that is what drove me to do the research for this book and spend 8 years writing the book and then, you know, bringing that to the world and sharing it with the world so we can make the world a better place.
And you have a lot of leaders that are featured in this book. I know it might take you kind of 20 minutes to go over each one, but if you can kind of give us a sample taste of some of the leaders that you have featured in this book as well.
Sure. So the book is actually organized around chapters, and each chapter features a different leader, and each chapter features that leader's story in how they were able to transform the people around them and transform, you know, the workplace and the operations of that workplace. So, for example, there's one leader who is running, you know, a huge automotive company who essentially saved the company from the brink of disaster. By turning it around and focusing on people first. and making sure that everyone was working together and that they had clear communication and they had clear goals and everyone understood their role in the big puzzle picture of how they were to contribute to helping the organization move forward.
Sustain, so that's one example. Sustaining success, impact, core mission from organizations is crucial. So when it comes to sustaining that, kind of break down what are some of the key factors of human leadership and how that will help these organizations sustain positive, not just change, but impact in the, inside their organization.
Yes, I think that's a great question. So first and foremost, for people who are following a human leadership approach, it's a little different than what they might be used to in the past. So the very first thing to be aware of is that, you know, perhaps the behaviors that you were exhibiting and the mindset that you had in the past to lead in the way that you were leading isn't necessarily what you're going to be using to go forward and help, you know, yourself, your team members, the organization succeed. So thinking about how you can lead yourself effectively so that you can lead others and then lead the business is the operating model for human leadership. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about there's three elements that go into that. There's the strategic focus of, you know, what you're leading and who you're leading. There's the human element of that, which is like on the other side of the triangle. If you think of this as a triangle on the three legs, on that second triangle, you have the people component of this equation. And then on the bottom of the triangle, you have the relational connection. In other words, the relationships that you have with people that help you get work done. And so the way that you approach the strategy and the people and the connections and the relational element are the principles that form human leadership to help organizations be successful.
And when you emphasize the importance of just practicing empathy and being able to be having ways to adapt to situations, when it comes to human connection in the organization, how does Be Human, Lead Human emphasize those importances?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that in the past was not really thought of in an organization as being important, but that it's the relationships that people have with one another. Like you and I both know that, you know, the way things get done at work is through relationships, right? They're the glue that keep the organization together. They're the glue that help things get done. And so instead of thinking of relationships as extracurricular or that relationships, you know, platonic work relationships don't belong in the workplace, that's sort of the old thinking that we want to let go of. Instead, we want to think about relationships are fundamental to how we get work done and how we grow the business and how we grow those connections with our external stakeholders as well as our internal stakeholders in an organization.
Once again, listen on Refocus Radio, talking to our guest today, Dr. Jennifer Nash. You go to her website, drjennifernash.com. You also pick up her book that we're discussing, Be Human, Lead Human, How to Connect People and Performance. You can get that right now on Amazon. Also, she has more information on her website as well. When you look at post-COVID-19 world, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that it happened back in 2020, because we're already 2024.
Right.
What do you think are some lasting residue impact, if you will, that has forever changed how business operate?
Ooh, that's a deep question, Shmaya. I think we're fundamentally changed as human beings, all having gone through COVID together, the ones of us who have survived, fortunately. I think that it has changed employees' perceptions because now they see that, you know, for some of them that could work from home, they were able to work from home. And so for employers to say, well, you've got to come back to the office now, right? And not really give any logic or rationale as to why that needs to happen, it doesn't seem to make much sense, right? And so people are questioning that. Well, if I am in this job and the employer is requiring me to come back 5 days a week, but I was able to do my job from home, and I actually was more productive doing it from home than I was in the office anyway, you know, there starts to be a question of, is there really a value proposition for me to stay with this employer and have to go back to the office 5 days a week, right? Then I have to incur a lot more expenses. I've got to get my childcare expenses back. I have to incur, you know, commuting expenses. And so I think there are some of those tactical things, you know, that have shifted. But I think more so what has also shifted is that, you know, people realize now, like, they have autonomy and agency over how they choose to work and where they choose to work and when they choose to work. And so the power, and to me, has really shifted into the employee's hands, and they can say, look, I'm going to choose to stay here, or I'm going to choose to go somewhere else. And I don't think that that mindset and that perception existed prior to COVID.
Organizations are faced with challenges all the time. And if you look at 2024, I mean, it's a buffet line, if you will, of challenges that must be met. But how we meet those challenges is part of the difference maker. For you and your background and the people that you are helping with your, you know, services, what is some of the strategies that you try to navigate with your client based on their own, you know, situation, to get through the tension that comes with conflict, hiccups, but they still are trying to navigate to reach those performance goals?
Yeah. So first and foremost, one of the strategies I always encourage my clients to use is separate the person from the problem. Especially when you're in a conflict situation, it's important to keep in mind that, like, the person is not the problem. There is a problem situation, and there are people that are, you know, involved in that problem. So separating the problem from the people is the very first thing I would recommend. The second thing I would recommend is, you know, thinking about how you communicate and what you communicate. You know, are you communicating clearly and consistently? And can people depend on hearing from you when you say you are going to communicate something? So keeping in mind, you know, how you send a message and what you say, is those are equally important things.
A lot of people, when I say a lot of people, I'll just say in general, people have different personalities. Some are a little bit more fun and lighthearted. Others are a little bit more abrupt, to the point, boom, boom, boom. This is, you know, how I execute. How can we embrace different personalities in order to reach the overall arc of the common purpose and goal of the organization?
Yeah. You know, one of the challenges in the workplace is really trying to figure out how to deal with all those different personalities. And so one of the things I often use for myself is I really try to understand the other person better. You know, I want to understand, look, help, tell me how you prefer to take in information, right? Are you a bullet point kind of person? Or are you a person who likes the whole historical background and a lot of context, and then, like, teeing that up to show me, like, where we are today, right? So more of, like, this narrative or the story approach. You know, one of the things I often also will try to do is, you know, check in with the person to see, like, am I giving them the information that they need? And if they say no, then that gives me the opportunity to ask them, well, help me understand how this information will be better conveyed to you so that we have a shared understanding and we're working towards the same goal. So, you know, asking those questions, understanding how the person prefers to receive information and how they process information is really helpful when you're trying to navigate the differences between people and how we work so that we can work together better.
We're talking to our guest, Dr. Jennifer Nash. You can go to her website, drjennifernash.com. We're discussing her book, Be Human, Lead Human. My next question will be, when it comes to trying to bridge the gap between traditional performance metrics and a more focused human-centered leadership, how can we get to that space where we actually are doing that, because talk is cheap. We can talk all we want, but reality hits us, and that's our greatest test to actually move forward.
Yep, you're spot on. So, you know, a problem that we have in organizations today is that the performance system measures individual performance, yet most of our work is delivered in teams. So when you have a team that performs and delivers something, but yet you're assessed on an individual level, that makes it really hard to figure out how we're going to, you know, identify those KPIs and figure out what we're going to be assessing you against, right? And often what I find is that in organizations, they're mostly focused on those technical pieces, right? Or the functional pieces of the job. Very rarely are you assessed on your ability to bring people together, right? And help them collaborate together or communicate something clearly and concisely so that an entire department or an organization understands, you know, what the purpose of that change was, right? And further, what each individual's role in that change is. So understanding what you're measuring in the organization and then understanding how you are measuring that and including the elements that make up human leadership, right? The pieces that are more, some people would call them soft skills focused. I don't like that term because I think actually these skills are the hardest to measure and master. And so I call them human and relational skills. And I think that if we had some kind of assessment in an organization that measured that, we would be much further ahead in how we're assessing our performance as a whole.
With your experience, you also have a connection with Harvard, McLean. I said that backwards. What are some of the things that you've been able to grab along the way in your own personal journey as you are building your career, you're building your life, and using that as another piece of your services?
So I was fortunate enough to present some of my PhD research at the Harvard McLean Institute of Coaching conference a couple of years back. And as a result of that conference, I met someone who had basically a course on entrepreneurship, and I took that course with them. And that person also had this community of people that they had created that went along with that course. And so I unexpectedly, you know, because of this connection with Harvard, I was able to develop a whole new group of people that, you know, have become sort of my tribe when it comes to my entrepreneurial ventures. And they are the ones that help me, you know, strategize and think through what does it make sense to offer for my services? You know, how is that going to be received in the market? And how can I shape that so that it fits into my brand, it fits into my identity? And it's also something that I'm really good at doing and I love providing to clients.
People listen to the show, they know that we're here for one thing only. And that is share people's stories that can help educate people to move to that next level. Because it's one thing to say, you know what, I want to do this in life. But you can say that for years and years, and you just don't have the right tools that get you there. It's like if someone wants to go to California and they live in New York, it might be easier for you to get an airplane flight out to Cali versus just drive there. So being self-aware, how does self-awareness help not just leaders and their employees that they are leading? How does it help everyone full circle to have the ability to have self-awareness?
Oh my gosh. That is such a deep and thoughtful question. I love the question. So as you mentioned, self-awareness is the very first thing to help yourself lead more effectively and lead others around you so that you can lead the business. When you are clear about your self-awareness, it makes it much more clear to you what direction you should go and what path you want to take and actually what path you need to take in life. You know, oftentimes I will talk to my clients about sitting on their porch, you know, when they're 95 years old and thinking back on their life, you know, what are they going to be thinking about? what would they write down as an obituary if they had to write their obituary at that moment? And what would be the things on there that they are most proud of and that they took a risk to do? And so that self-awareness to know who you are and where you want to go and how you want to get there, excuse me, is critical, you know, to living a life that has meaning and purpose for yourself and for others.
We've been talking about empathy a lot in this interview, and you mentioned the word tribe, which I think is really good because I want to dive into that while we have time left. When it comes to building a tribe, not just any kind of tribe, but a tribe that aligns you with the principles of empathy and being authentic, and what we've been emphasizing throughout the whole show, and that's be human, lead human. How can we be careful to build a tribe that aligns with our values, but also be open-minded to make sure we're not overlooking opportunities as far as who we network with to be in our tribe?
Yeah. So, you know, when I started my entrepreneurial journey, I was looking around for my tribe. And I kept looking and I kept joining these different groups and I'd go to these networking events and, you know, I talked to these people and, you know, I just felt like I was doing things that weren't really authentic to me. You know, they didn't feel natural. I wasn't comfortable. I didn't really enjoy them all that much. But I forced myself to go do them because I thought that was what I was supposed to do, you know, as an entrepreneur and, you know, starting my business. But the interesting thing about that was, you know, after about the, I don't know, 9th or 10th group that, you know, I went to meet, I just stopped doing it because I got tired. And that was the moment when I presented that research at the Harvard conference and I came across that person whose course I took and then joined that community that she had built. And it was like, I found the tribe and it wasn't unnatural. It wasn't inauthentic. It wasn't something that made me uncomfortable. Like I was actually excited to go out and talk to people and learn with them and share things with them and grow, you know, grow together. And so I think when you're looking for that tribe, you know, when things feel a little bit off, you know, pay attention to that because that's your body's intuition telling you something isn't quite right here. And when you feel that there's going to be a fit and you feel that like it just sort of snaps into place like that puzzle piece does, you know you're in the right place and you know that you found your tribe.
Workplaces, they're very important. And I tell people this all the time because, you know, my career is radio. I mean, I know the voice. I every single day, it never fails when I get on the elevator to the 12th floor. If I've never met the person before, the first thing they ask if they hear me speak is, hey, do you have a radio show? And every time I just want to light fireworks and say, you got it. You got it. And I'm only saying that story because I fell into media. It wasn't even something that I considered, but it was something that was inside me the whole time, if that makes sense. In other words, in life, I feel like once you hit that spark, things begin to flow. Even when chaos happens, it doesn't even matter because of chaos. You know how to handle it because you already have that passion that backs you up. Like once you're in your lane, it's like work ain't work, man, because you have the secret sauce, aka like someone said to me a while back, that struggle is your power. Yes. So no matter what happens, all the chaos. I mean, I told you before the show, it was just a busy, busy day. And boom, I got to exhale and then look forward to this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm drawing you into this. I'm making this a full circle.
Yeah.
When you understand your passion and your calling in your own life and Dr. Jennifer's life,
mm-hmm.
What allows you to stay focused on your mission? Because you're helping people, you're changing a lot of these people's lives. What keeps you motivated to not forget your why?
Oh, I love that. So I left the corporate world after 25 years because I knew that if I stayed in the box like that, I wasn't going to achieve my potential. And I needed my why, and I wasn't getting that fulfilled in what I was doing. And so I started my own business because I wanted to help leaders be more effective leaders. And I wanted more people to experience what I had experienced with that leader I discussed at the beginning of our call, right? Who made me feel seen and made me feel heard and made me feel that I mattered, you know, as a human being. And I wanted that. I want that for everyone. And so, you know, when it gets really hard for me and I'm struggling or I don't have enough clients or, you know, there's too many clients, right? Or whatever it is, if I'm having a tough day, you know, getting a message from someone who was a former client or getting a message from someone who has read the book and said, you know what, that made a difference for me. I just can't thank you enough for taking the time to write the book. Or I'm so grateful that our paths crossed because, you know, you showed me that, you know, this way of leading or this way of thinking about leadership. I tried that. And guess what? Like, my people responded to that. And guess what? Like, my attrition level is lower and I'm not having any trouble finding people to come to my team anymore. Or, you know, like the one client that I talked with a bit ago who told me, like, you know, you have changed my life for the better. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband. I'm a better colleague because I was able to work with you. And, you know, those are the moments that keep me going when things get really tough. And that is my why. So if I know that I can have that kind of impact and I'm honored to have that kind of impact in someone's life, to me, there isn't anything more meaningful that I could be doing with my time on this earth.
And remember what you said earlier in the show about soft skills. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing soft about human and relational skills. They are the hardest to master and fine tune. It's a life journey, if you will.
Yep.
When people go get this book that we've been talking about throughout the show, Be Human, Lead Human, How Connect People and Performance. I mean, I can ask you a typical blueprint template answer as we close the show, but I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Okay.
If someone's listening to this right now, and they've been frustrated with their business or this just their professional life as a leader, mm-hmm. why should they connect with Dr. Jennifer Nash and not some other person that is another option, B, C, D? Why you?
Why me? Well, I think there's a couple things I'm going to say to that, right? So if somebody is looking to connect with a coach in general, I really think it's important that they find the coach that they have that right fit with, right? Or that right connection with, because the outcome that they will get from their coaching engagement is fully dependent on the relationship that they have with the coach. So like, I may be the right coach for you, Shamaya, but I may not be the right coach for your best friend. So I would say, yes, I would love everybody to come and talk with me. At the same time, it's not realistic and I may not be the right fit for other people. So first and foremost, find the person who's the fit for you. You're going to have the best relationship with them and you'll get the best outcome for you. The other thing I would say is that if someone is considering working with me or is interested in getting a coach, you know, understand what their background is, right? I spent 25 years in industry and professional services. I, you know, rolled up my sleeves and did every job from individual contributor all the way up to the C-suite. So chances are, like, I've walked in your shoes and I understand what it's like to be doing what you're doing. I can point to all of my education and background, but I think one of the things that typically clients tell me they hire me for is because we have that relationship, right? They feel like they can talk with me. They feel like they can be truthful and they don't have to hide anything. They can be their authentic self. And when we're both meeting in the middle in that space, that is where the magic happens.
And just like your book, Be Human, Lead Human. Been talking to Dr. Jennifer Nash here on Refocus Radio. Go to our website, drjennifernash.com. Get the book, Be Human, Lead Human. Go on Amazon or go right to her website, drjennifernash.com, to get that and more information about her. Like always, Dr. Jennifer, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, Shamaya.
Are you a business professional looking to share your latest news with a wider audience? Look no further than I Am Refocused Radio. We invite you to submit your press release to be featured on our blog section. With over 2,000 daily visitors, your news will reach a diverse and engaged audience. Best of all, this service is completely free. Simply email your press release to admin@imrefocusradio.com. For guest inquiries or more information, reach out to admin@imrefocusradio.com. Let's amplify your voice together with I Am Refocused Radio. Submit your press release today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.